Father, we just thank you for this exciting season. Though there's so many uncertainties, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the one who stills our hearts. You are the one who says, cast all our anxieties on him. We thank you for, in this closing period, for jobs that have to be got by staff, for all those practicalities. We thank you for great testimonies of you breaking through and breaking in, because your kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom. And so we just stand at a closure. We feel this is what you've told us to do, and we're so excited about what lies ahead. And so thank you for Lisa this morning. We thank you for open hearts. We thank you that we'd be able to hear what you're saying through her and the prophetic word that you've put in her heart for us as a people. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Oh, sorry. One last thing. One of the practicalities is that we're moving across to Every Nation Rosebank. So over here is the calendar for January, February, if anyone wants to find out. 4th of March is our first meeting there.
Great. It's actually great to pick up one of those, because if you want to just have a look at their vision and values and things like that, you pick up one and have a look. Are you moving me forward? More? Yes, thank you. That's better. Okay. Good morning, everybody. This is my last preach at Central Parks. I said, this is my last preach. So I was like, that's not your last preach. Anyway, it's my last preach at Central Parks. So it's quite an emotional moment for me after 11 years. And during our sabbatical, I did a lot of reconnecting with my heart, which I realized I had disconnected with somewhat over the last couple of years. And so this morning, my prayer is that you receive this into your hearts, because I really feel like I'm releasing it from my heart, something that I've put together from my heart. And I have so much peace with this laying down, this closing, this sacrificing. It's like we went backwards and forwards for months until doors just shut and shut and shut, and we knew that God was just putting the path before us. Where's that scripture? When we are submitted to God, we lay down our will. He makes our paths straight. I know that's not the beginning of that scripture. I'm just trying to think what it is. Anyway, he makes our paths straight. You know, sometimes you feel like you're doing stuff, but actually God is orchestrating things. And I just have such a peace. It does feel huger than I can comprehend right now. So hopefully I keep it together. But I know the purposes of God are being walked out. So sometimes you can stay in something for all the wrong reasons. And as Christians, I think we're very good at putting a spiritual spin on things that God has closed. And we think, no, we need to keep it open. We need to keep going. But God has actually closed it. And we can say, no, but it's God. We can spiritualize things that are really just not meant to be. And there is a good and perfect will that he wants us to walk in. There are good works that he had before time for us to do. And so we want to walk in those things. We want to do those things. And there's some people on my right here I'm not going to look at, because yes, okay. So it was announced today that I should have a prophetic word, and I actually laughed a bit because I was like, I don't have a prophetic word. But actually, thinking about it, I do. So if you have a Bible, let's turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. And I will need glasses for this print. From verse 17. Actually, I'm going to go from verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. This is what he says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild jackal animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And there's a promise in here of something completely new. And before I just talk through that prophetic word, just give me a minute because I want to... I want to just preach here for a minute. I love the Word of God because I love that through the Bible and through the Word, you have a bit of the wrath and the anger of God, and you have this, and then you have a little bit of hope, and then you have more of the wrath and the anger of God and the workings out of God and His people, and then you have a little bit of hope. And all those little bits of hope are prophetic pictures that point towards Jesus. And here you have it so beautifully. Here we have a prophetic picture of Jesus. Jesus is the water in the desert. He's the way. He's the way in the wasteland. He's the way in the desert. It is a promise of all things being made new. So although God's angry with the people around here and he's saying this happened and whatever and this is going to happen, actually, there's a promise that everything's going to be made new. Hear that promise. Everything is going to be made new. It is the promise of the burial of the old self. And I'll show you how. It is seeing that which made you mighty and strong in the past being snuffed out. Your self-righteous deeds unable to save you. Your horse and chariot being thrown into the sea of baptism. Yes, it's about the Egyptians and the Egyptians following the Israelites. God takes them through the sea and he parts the sea, takes them through. They are baptized there. And the horses and the chariots are gone. They're snuffed out. Those are the good deeds. Those are your self-righteous acts that are buried when you are baptized. You come out a new creation. Forget the former things. Isn't that a beautiful prophetic picture? You were baptized into his death, and there you died. You were buried with Christ. We see this in Colossians 2 and Romans 6. The old man is gone. You are raised with Christ, born of the Spirit. It's so beautiful. Now all that is left is the renewing of your mind through sanctification. Sanctification is God's perfect love towards us. He is so committed to our holiness. It is so beautiful. You chose Christ through faith. No one forced you. You chose him from your free will. You chose to believe by faith, by being sure of what you hoped for and certain of what you believed, that Christ died for you and that he could fully pay for your sin. You repented and turned towards God. And then God came to take his home within you so that you could be in an intimate relationship with him. It is a new way. And that's what he's talking about here. There'll be a new way. I'm closing out the old way and I'm going to show you a new way. There's a hope of Jesus here. No longer will you talk to God through a priest. No longer will you yearly have to sacrifice a lamb. No longer a way of mighty chariots. The mighty chariots have gone in your baptism. Your mighty chariots, your strength, your ability to save yourself, it's gone. No longer a way of mighty chariots, but of humble, submitted, repentant hearts that acknowledge their fallenness and step into the waters of baptism to be reborn and then baptized with the Holy Spirit who comes on you and within you to empower you to receive the kingdom and to release the kingdom. Isn't it beautiful? That is the gospel. It's simple and it's beautiful. He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. I think if there's one scripture, Jacques, for Central Parks, it is that scripture from Hebrews. He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Perfect, but not yet holy. I know you like to think of yourselves as holy, but A new way of perfect, a new way in which you can always come to the Father through Jesus and be forgiven and redeemed and start new every day. His mercies are new every morning. A new way in which he leads us by his love and kindness into holiness. He leads us by his love and kindness into holiness. We are not led into holiness through the fear of punishment, because Jesus took our punishment for us. We are led into holiness through his kindness and his love. Not punishing us as our sins deserve. Amen. That's my little preach. And so my prophetic word is from the scripture, but I just had to show you how the word is so rich with the promises of Christ and the gospel. Look for the gospel when you're reading the word, because you will find it. Little bits of hope everywhere. Don't lose that. And so my word is completely new, and I think a number of people have already preached this year around the world. I think it's quite obvious if you look at the year 2018 and what 18 is. It's complete new beginnings. Now, 18 can also be 9 plus 9, which is judgment through division. Hopefully we're not being judged through division. But, or 666? Jacques. I never thought of that one. They don't normally divide numbers up like that. It's multiplication. Okay. So, what did you say? 17 and 1. Okay. Let's just stick with 10 and 8, shall we? 10. 10 is complete and 8 is new beginnings. So it's complete new beginnings. And I think 2018, it's double 10. So it's complete new beginnings. And I love this first part of Isaiah, because he says in the scripture, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And within this context, God wants you to completely understand your salvation. Do not dwell on the past, in the way it happened in the past, because I have done a new thing through Christ. Put on the new glasses so that you can understand your salvation through a new lens. Okay? It's not through the old covenant, but through an intimate relationship with him. And I sense that in this season of complete new beginnings, many of you will have plans. We have plans. And I feel God saying, hold your plans lightly. Hold your plans lightly. This is a year of great change. You know, I felt it last year. God always, the Holy Spirit always prepares us. I felt it last year. When Sarah Maud came to my house one very sad morning to tell me that they were going back to America, I wept and I said to her, nothing is ever going to be the same again, ever. And I heard it, and my spirit heard it, and I knew that great change was coming. When God opens up a season like this, run into it with open arms, because it is a place of great hope. It's a place of great freedom. It is a place and a reminder that of the newness that Christ brings. It is a new season. You can be made new in a new season. It is a time of great hope. The water of life that completely transforms us. It is a season where bondage breaks off. Let bondages break off. Things that you've been carrying for years, break off. It is your time to break free. And in Christ, all things can be made new. It is fresh air. But there is a command here, and this command is very important. The command says, do not dwell on the past. Forget the former things. While I was on sabbatical, I had quite a lot of life coaching sessions. And one of the things I went after with just a steady determination was the renewing of my mind and changing trauma pathways, stopping them. Actually, it really works. I even downloaded Caroline Leaf's 21-Day Brain Detox, and I highly recommend it. It's actually three sets of 21 days. I did download it for one of my children, but I have been doing it as well because I did it with my life coach, and it really is life-changing. You know, it's about going after the thoughts that dwell in the past, after the thoughts that are the illusion of the future. Only a thought can trigger you from a past event. That event is no longer happening. It is an illusion. The thought is an illusion. Unfortunately, your body does not know that thought is an illusion. And I think I've said this before. You can sit in a movie and you can be petrified, because your body can't always distinguish what is illusion and what is reality. Your mind is that powerful. We have to go after our thoughts that are illusions. It's ultimately renewing of the mind, to be present with the Holy Spirit right now, to experience the stillness and the peace of no longer ruminating illusions. I no longer spend time rehearsing any conversations I've had or I'm going to have. But you have to do it very wide awake, because they will sneak in. Do you know that a lot of people spend time having conversations with people in their head? They get angry in those conversations. The person's not saying those things. You are making up what that person is saying and how that person is going to respond to you. And your body is responding towards it. It is an illusion. It is not real. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to meet that person, and you're going to carry all those feelings, all that anger, all the things they never said that you think they said, into the relationship. That is how the enemy plays with us. We are commanded in the Word to renew our minds. It is, if we don't do it, we have the bitter root. The bitter root is in our minds. We have been given the mind of Christ, which means we can take control. We can reform our brains. Our brains are plastic. They can be changed. A lot of medical science has said that the brain forms the mind. No, the mind forms the brain. Take control of your mind and you can change your brain. So, do not dwell on the past. Look for the new thing. Find the new way of thinking. Find Holy Spirit, and you will find him to be very still. Holy Spirit is not concerned with tomorrow. He's right here in this moment. Find him in this moment, ever present. I just want to say quickly, when you have a toxic thought, something negative, something horrible. For a long time, I used to just learn to still those thoughts and stop them. But actually, you have to create new pathways. So if you are constantly imagining being attacked, or you're constantly imagining terrible things happen, don't just stop those thoughts. You then have to imagine good things happening. You have to recreate those pathways, and you actually have to do it. This is something you have to do. If you are having bad thoughts about somebody, you have to stop the thoughts and give thanks for that person and imagine good thoughts. You have to recreate the pathways. You can't just stop the bad ones. You have to recreate new ones. You are not at the end of somebody else's remote control. Nobody else is controlling you through a remote. You may give them a remote control over you. Don't do that. That's the illusions you're creating in your head. Okay. So, 2018, this is part of my word, by the way. This is part of my prophetic word of, it's brand new season. Take control of your mind. Okay. It is a new space to discover who you really are. Not who everybody's put you, not the box everybody's put you in. Not the box you've put yourself in. Give yourself space in a new season. If God comes and he says, this is the season of I'm making everything completely new, you say, yes, I'm taking that. Break the boxes I've put myself in. Break off the boxes, God, because I don't want to be known as that anymore. Ask God for a new space and a new way of being. And as I said, don't hold on to your plans tightly. You know, often when we move from one season into the next, from one way of being into the next, often we take with us the things. The Israelites, they took things that they knew from Egypt. They make a golden calf in the desert where everything's being made new. Sometimes when we make plans, when we're entering into change, we make plans that look like the old because we think that's what God wants us to do. Hold it lightly. Sometimes that's just him hooking you. I've got this for you. I'm hooking you. But it's actually not that at all. It's just his hook because he wants you to follow him. Don't rely on what you know and have known. I think there are people here who think they've heard God's plans and have even begun to step into those plans. But those, as I say, they're only the hook. Be open. Sometimes the familiar, even bitterness can be a familiar spirit, which you don't want to take with you. And then to close today, I just wanted to leave you a few things from my mother's heart. I've had the privilege of leading this work for 11 years with Grant, of almost being a mother over the work. And when my children leave home, I won't stop speaking to them, but they're things that I want them to have in their hearts. So these are a couple of things I thought, okay, what do I want? Because I'm not going to have the opportunity to speak to you again, to lead you again, maybe some of you, but to preach again. And so the first one would be, understand the season as a new one and stop clinging to the past. My words to you today are, release the past. Open yourself and your heart to the new and what God is doing. The second one is, watch your life and your doctrine. And I say that as a mother, watch your life and your doctrine. This is what Paul said to Timothy. He said, he brought them two together. He said, watch your life and your doctrine. And I said, okay, well, Holy Spirit, why does he say watch your life and your doctrine together? Because your doctrine will dictate the way your life is worked out. And if you want to know, sometimes the fruit of your life will show you what your doctrine is. Your doctrine will produce fruit, life fruit. And here is some examples so that you understand what I'm saying. If you believe that, God puts sickness on people to punish them, that's your doctrine, you won't pray for the sick. Will you? No. So if you're not praying for the sick, think about why you're not praying for the sick. Thinking myself. Okay. If you believe that God is angry with you and can't get over what you did, you will live in shame and you will not press into relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's in relationship with the Holy Spirit that shame breaks off. Those who look to him are radiant. Those who look at his face in relationship are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. See, your doctrine dictates how you live out your life. If you believe that Jesus has already saved the entire world and that people just don't know that, you will never go after the lost like someone went after you. Who had somebody go after them? Oh, only 5 of you. The rest of you aren't saved. Did somebody go after you so that you got saved? Did somebody tell you about Jesus? Yes, even if it was a parent. Okay? No one came to me and said, you're saved. They never said that. They said, salvation has been known through Jesus. Come and hear what he has done for you. Repent and believe in him through faith and be saved, which I did. And I am forever grateful. I am so grateful. Thank you, God. Can you imagine life without the Holy Spirit, without the Comforter, without the love? Because somebody came after me and said, Lisa, you are lost in your sin. You see, our doctrine will dictate what we do. Life and doctrine. Read the word. Read the word. Read the word till your Bible looks like this, till it's torn up, till it's got pages torn and highlighted and notes everywhere and sticky things. And read it over and over and over. Read different versions. Be careful of interpretations. They are different from different versions. They are interpretations of the word which are written with a bias. Be careful. Open your eyes. Listen. Use Bible Hub. Bible Hub is an internet thing. It will show you the original Hebrew. It will show you the original Greek. You don't have to be a Greek scholar or Hebrew scholar anymore. You can just use the internet. It is right there. It has like 20 different versions. And you can see which ones are the closest to the original Hebrew. You can go and look at those words. It's a fantastic tool. Make use of the new season to remove your lenses and read the Bible with a renewed mind. My next point is get healed. Get connected with your heart. I didn't realize that I was disconnected till I hit a wall. And I had to spend a number of sessions realizing that I had started to operate completely from my mind. It's amazing how you can have emotions in your head that are not actually coming from your heart. They're coming from your head. You think you're really connected, but you're not necessarily. You know what? It's not a quick fix. This is the daily walking for the rest of your life to get connected to your heart. And when I say get connected to your heart, it's getting connected to the Holy Spirit. That's what it really is. Is connecting with your heart. And from the voice of the Holy Spirit, you may need a teacher. Now I'm thinking of that scene in Star Wars. I can't talk about Star Wars because it's such a joke in our family. When Grant preached last time, Robin, I'm surprised you're still speaking to him after the third order. My kids at lunch, they're like, Dad, it's not the third force, it's the first order. Anyway. I can see some of you don't know what I'm talking about because you're not Star Wars fans anyway. He says, you need a teacher. I can show you the ways of the Force. You need a teacher or a mentor or a coach or a mother or a father to help you walk with you, to find your heart. Find one. I have done a lot of work on my heart over the years, but still I slipped into disconnection and came back again. And you know, there's so many tiny tools. A tiny tool is to just put your hand on your heart because it just moves you from your head into your heart. If you think you're giving thanks from your heart, sometimes you can just be giving thanks from your head. Put your hand on your physical heart and it'll shift your thankfulness to come from your heart. And then you learn, you practice to be living from your heart and not just from your head. Why is this heart connection so important? Because if you stay in bitterness, if there are undealt with things in your life, things from past church hurt that you have not dealt with, you will get a doctrinal bent that will lead you in the wrong direction. So guys, go after your hearts. They are the wellspring of life. And then lastly, three things. Receive, celebrate, and let go of the past with thanksgiving. So, learning to receive. When I'm angry with people, or I feel like they've hurt me, I don't find it easy to receive. Even whole denominations I might be angry with, and I can't receive from them. My bad luck, I'm losing out. Let's learn to receive from people who maybe don't do things like we do them, or seem a little bit different from us. Or make us feel uncomfortable sometimes. Let's learn to receive. Holy Spirit is trying to say something always. Receive from Holy Spirit. Celebrate. And don't be fake. Facebook. Fake book. I call it fake book. I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook. But sometimes, I don't know if you can say, can you say the word bitch when you preaching. It's a bad word. My husband pulled a face, but it really does explain. Don't bitch about people and then celebrate them on Facebook when other people know that you have bitched about them. Okay? Let's be genuine. Let's be authentic. Let's be to people's faces what we are to them in Facebook. Let's celebrate people. It's so hard to celebrate people. For years, I struggled with shame. I struggled with judgment and shame. And when you struggle with judgment and shame, it is hard to celebrate other people. And I also am such a justice person. I'm like, that's unjust. I can't celebrate that. But you know what? Not all my judgments are actually truth. Gasp. I had to get healed of shame. And when I got healed of shame, I could start to celebrate other people, learning to truthfully celebrate people from my heart. Personal shame, oh, and personal ambition. Personal ambition will also stop you from celebrating. Go after your personal ambition so that shame and personal ambition often go together because we're very ambitious because we want to overcome our shame through achievement. We just want to go after those things. Sometimes we came with an incredible revelation of grace and it changed our lives forever. But sometimes we push that grace to a point where people don't understand they are perfect. He's made perfect forever. Those who are being made holy, and they stop at perfect forever. And then they feel like they miss the mark all the time. And then a religious spirit comes on and says, you've missed the mark, you've missed the mark, you've missed the mark, you're not perfect, you're supposed to be perfect, he's made you perfect, why aren't you perfect? And then shame comes in. So just be careful with that. Remember, there's space, there's grace for sanctification, there's space for being made holy through his love and kindness. You don't have to be perfect immediately. And the last one is let go of the past with thanksgiving. Thankfulness from the heart. Thankfulness is the game changer. It is the gateway to letting go of that which is no more. We don't want to close Central Parks without thankfulness. There's so much to be thankful for. And when we are thankful, we are stewarding the seeds that have been sown in our lives that they can become multiple harvests. Multiple harvests. Let's pray. Let's put our hands on our hearts. Let's connect with our hearts right now in this minute. Jesus, we just thank you from our hearts. We thank you for this community. I thank you for this community. I thank you for everything you have done in these 11 years, for everything you have sown in our hearts. Thank you that we have access to our hearts, that they become wells of the most incredible water that we can drink. Come and just release your peace. Release your peace over us. Release your peace over us.